The first reading is taken from 1 Peter 5, verses 1 to 11. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are elder. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he will lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power for ever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, chapter 17, verses 1 to 11. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Our Father God, we pray that as we consider this subject, which is the subject of humility, which is not easy for most of us to practice in our lives, we pray that you would open our minds, open our hearts to what your word has to teach us. In your name, amen. Humility. Do you, be absolutely honest, admire humility? In normal circumstances, I might ask you to raise your hand if your answer was positive. And of course, I have absolutely no way of telling how many people raise their hands. What I do know, that if it was a majority, it would be way out of kilter with what most people today admire. A few years ago, a couple of secular academics looked at how people today regarded actions motivated by love. Kindness, which of course is linked to humility, they concluded, has become a sign of weakness. Most people, they continued, as they grow up, secretly believe that kindness is a virtue of losers. And that was exactly the view of the ancient world in which our text was written. Humility, kindness, mercy, compassion, love. These were character defects. Okay, perhaps for women, children, and losers, but disabling for real men wanting to flourish in the hard, actual world where pride, courage, integrity, commitment to justice were the tough virtues to be admired and followed. Why then does the Bible constantly commend humility and all those other characteristics which cluster around it? The characteristics which today both men and women easily dismiss as being feminine. The answer is way back in the story of creation. We are, as male and female, created, Genesis tells us, in the image of God. And that gives us a double set of dependent relationships. A dependent and interdependent relationship, first of all, with God, in whose image we have been made. And a dependent and interdependent relationship with others, because they are also made in God's image. But we so easily forget. And that's why the Bible continually points the people of Israel to the reality that everything they had came from God. Often they acted on the assumption that they had control and they could pursue whatever their selfish ends happened to be. But that, as the Bible says again and again, is the road to disaster. Rather, what the Lord required was very simple: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. These were the keys to flourishing in the way that God wanted them and wanted us to flourish. And God, of course, doesn't love us because we deserve to be loved. It was not, as the Apostle John puts it, that we once upon a time loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins and the damage they've done to our relationship with God. And that, Paul reminds us, involved Jesus humbling himself. And here is something else about Christian humility. The passage does not say he was humbled. Rather, it says he humbled himself. Christ was a willing victim. He chose to be humbled. If we choose to believe in Christ and let him be the Lord of our lives, it means that we become joyful followers. As joyful followers of Christ, as Peter tells us, we should be eager to serve others. And Christ-like service should be done, as Paul puts it, in humility, regarding others as better than ourselves. Regarding others as better than ourselves carries, by the way, no implication of low self-esteem or self-disregard. Rather, it springs from the self-forgetful, self-denying service of others, made important and precious because they are made in the image of God. And that involves a total change of our focus. No longer the single-minded pursuit of our own interests, but rather allowing the interests of others to become our point of focus. Of course, the interests of others very much includes, as the Bible constantly reminds us, the poor, the widow, the marginalized, the refugees. But the humble servants Peter is speaking of in our passage is not specific to any social grouping. It is rather specific to something which may be harder for many of us, giving ourselves in service to those close to us, those who are part of our network, whether it be our church, our family, our business, our neighbours, our hobbies, whatever. The people in those groupings require our love, our kindness, and our time. And that's not always going to be easy for us. It goes against the grain, particularly if we're doing it for a long period of time. That's why Peter calls us to make the decision to put on the clothes, as he calls it, to clothe ourselves with the humility of Christ as we relate to other people. Indeed, in the first century, it was regarded as being way over the top. Likewise, in our society has chosen to put its emphasis on rights rather than in duties, on self-assertiveness rather than on humility, on the service of self rather than the service of others, on individual whim rather than community need, and on carelessly confident mastery of the world rather than respectful stewardship of creation. And those choices have all sorts of negative consequences, including, almost certainly, creating the conditions which made something like coronavirus extraordinarily likely. And what coronavirus has undoubtedly done is to make us rethink. Perhaps duty is admirable. Perhaps our world needs care. Perhaps service is both necessary and actually fulfilling. Perhaps our neighbours and community are important. Perhaps the old African proverb got it right when it said, "I am because we are." But by themselves, all these things are like signposts without a road. But God gives us the road, the real driving force that will make us eager to serve is, Peter reminds us, a consequence of contemplating Christ's humbling of himself for us. And therefore, humble service, Peter continues, is central to leadership. I didn't know until very recently, until in fact I was preparing for this talk, that the motto of the Royal Military Academy at Sandhurst, which turns out all our top soldiers, is, guess what? To serve is to lead. And what those who shaped the academy way back after the Second World War grasped was that good leadership is based on caring service. And let's remember that leadership isn't just for those guys way up at the top. Most of us are leaders in some context or another, because in the end, leadership is just having someone, perhaps even one person following us. And most of us have at least one person following us. This service, Peter tells us, should not be undertaken bossily, telling others what to do, but tenderly, showing them the way. She lived for others, observed C.S. Lewis, of a very possessive, smothering love. You can tell who the others were by the haunted look in their eyes. Is not bossy, possessive service at bottom an expression of our needs? Humble, self-forgetful, tender service is by contrast focused on the needs of others. We've only been able in these few minutes to scratch the surface, but a few points as we close. First, passage is one challenge after another to action. I appeal to you, be eager to serve, clothe yourselves with humility, be self-controlled and alert. If Christ chose to humble himself, we can be sure that humility will not descend on us without our decision. It's not something that will just happen. Second, Peter writes at a time of persecution, and he knew that his readers would be very anxious. And that's why he writes, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And there are a few of us who aren't anxious at the moment, anxious about the pandemic, anxious about our health, anxious about the economy, anxious about our jobs, anxious about our world, anxious about the future, anxious about our anxious generation of young people, anxious about our church without some of its income stream, anxious about living in a learn to earn to spend culture. What to do? Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. The Greek verb for casting, Bishop Tom Wright tells us, is a strong one. It's encouraging us to pick up everything that is bothering us, everything that is weighing us down, and fling them on God's back. He will carry them. He will be delighted to do so. He loves us, after all. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. We do have that heavenly Father. Where? Asked Grace Shepherd, the wife of the famous cricketer who later became a bishop, David Shepherd. Where can we find the strength to master our fears and anxieties, to achieve wholeness? She points to, in her words, the throne of grace. At the throne of Jesus, we are reminded of his love, of his forgiveness, of his self-giving, humble service, and of his good purposes for us. And central to those good purposes being, as we've seen again and again, being eager to serve, finding ways of meeting him. Our Grace Shepherd continues, in simple communication, we shall find we are loved and healed, and inch by inch delivered from the grips of our fears. We just need the faith to be free, the courage to take the first step, and the faith to continue. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that virtue of humility. And we know that it's not easy. We know that we have to make decisions in many sectors of our lives. But we thank you that we have the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have the help of the Spirit. And we thank you that you have given us a calling in this world to be eager to serve as your humble, obedient servants. In Jesus' name, amen.